Ambassadors. We're talking about ambassadors of heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. And that is not just special people. In the world, only special people get to be ambassadors of heaven of a country. But in the kingdom, everyone who's a believer gets to be ambassador, gets to be a special representative of God. Oh, that's awesome, isn't it? If you think where we've come from and our backgrounds of some of us, and it's like actually God calls us to be a representative of his kingdom on earth and wants to bring it as it is in heaven. And Paul said in Ephesians 6:20, I am an ambassador in chains. Even when he was in prison, literally he was still proclaiming the kingdom and doing it boldly, because it's an ambassador of a different kingdom. And we've talked before about the fact that we are citizens of heaven. So our ambassadorship is heaven to earth. Now, if there's the American ambassador in Britain, we know, as we've talked before, that the embassy of the US is US soil. So our lives, when we're an ambassador, we are kingdom soil. But we're not just in this world to just represent heaven. We're in this world to see this earth transformed into heaven, which is the key difference. We're not here just to represent heaven, but to influence this world for heaven so that heaven will come to earth. Man's original commission was to refill the earth and to subdue it and to bring the rule of God in it. So we're out for colonization, not just a little bit of influence, because we want to see heaven on earth. Colossians 1:13, we've been rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son. We're in a new kingdom with new rules, new laws, new principles, and everything else. Citizens of a heavenly kingdom. That kingdom has higher standards of behavior, we looked at last time. It's representing heaven's superior authority, power, and wisdom. Things like the golden rule, which we looked at last time, forgiveness, judgment, going the extra mile, are all part of that. It's under new authority. You know, our lives may have been under certain authority before, but when we're transferred into God's kingdom, we're under kingdom, heavenly authority now, which gives us a different thing. New health service we've looked at, economy, society, speech, attitudes, and lifestyle. Now, this means that I have to represent Christ in the world. You know, the church, he says, is his body on earth, and we're all individually members of that body, and we've all got different parts to play in that body, but we're all representing Christ to the world. If the world is going to see Jesus and see what God is like, they're going to see it through us. And that is quite a heavy responsibility when you think of it. People's eternal salvation actually may depend on whether we are demonstrating the kingdom or not. Because if someone sees a Christian and they're not acting very much like Christ, they might actually think, I don't want anything to do with that. Hypocrites. You know, how much criticism of the church is that we're hypocrites. We say one thing, and we live something else. And let's be honest, that's true for all of us to a degree. You know, because we're not perfect, and God understands that, but he wants us to represent his kingdom properly. Hence, we need to be like Christ, like Jesus, to the world. You know, I'm not here to represent me. You know, sometimes we represent us because actually we've got needs and we get our needs met through some of those things that we do. I'm not here to promote my own ideas or my personal ideology. It's God's kingdom I'm here to represent. I'm not here to voice my opinions about life and God on other people. I'm here only to represent Christ and be like him. That's God's desire. Ambassadors have an honored place. You know, every one of us has been given a privileged place to be like Jesus to the world. And God desires us to represent him in every situation we're in. We have an opportunity of actually doing that. But we need to know the message if we're going to speak the message of Jesus. Because some of it is demonstration by our actions and our attitudes and our behavior, like we've talked over the last few weeks. But some of it actually is the message. The things we say are important because our words are really important. And we do need to preach the good news in word and in deed, in both of them together. Now, 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame that as we're strong. The base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not so that they may nullify the things that are. Now, what's that about? It's about God choosing, not people who are intellectually perfect or got university degrees or high standing in society or anything like that, although he will choose those people. He chooses people who will reflect him and will bring glory to him. And so when people like us do miracles, people aren't going to look and think, well, I thought they could do that sort of stuff. They're going to look and think, how on earth did they do that? Because we haven't got the natural abilities of the kingdom. We've got the supernatural abilities of the kingdom. So everything about us comes from our relationship and the flow of the life of God, not about our own individual abilities and strengths and things. And we may have lots of them. But that's not why God chose us. He just chose us because he loves us and he's got a plan and a destiny for our lives. And so our background does not disqualify us, no matter what we've done. In fact, it's almost easier, it seems, for those who have a negative background to realize God loves us. We need God. You know, if we've got everything we want in the world, there might be a temptation to think, well, actually, don't really need God. But we know the truth is many people who've got lots of riches and positions of power are not happy. They're not satisfied or fulfilled because there's something still missing, and that is fulfilling the purpose of God in their life. So we're all called and we're all chosen. Says the same thing there in the Message version. Ambassadors need to know the position of the government on the particular issue and then speak that message. And this is what I want to talk today about, our speech. Because what we say is important and words are extremely powerful. And ambassadors representing heaven need to know what heaven's about, need to know the heart of God, need to know the will of God, need to know the purpose of God, and actually need to know the good news of the gospel, need to know the truth of the word of God so that we can represent that to the world. And I've done that bit. And that bit. Okay. Matthew 12:34. The mouth speaks of that which fills the heart. So if you do a check-up on what's coming out of your mouth day by day during a week, you'll see actually what fills the heart. And what we want and what God wants is our hearts to be filled with him and his word and his truth and his life, so that when we speak words of truth and life, not words of death, because life and death are in the power of the tongue. So our words are very, very important. So important, verse 36 says, I will tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That is a powerful scripture. Why what we say, because what we say is from our hearts, will determine whether things goes good for us or things goes bad for us, both here and in eternity. So it's really important that we have flowing from us the words that come from God and not careless words. You know, and I wonder how many careless words do we speak? How many negative words do we speak? How many curses do we speak over ourselves and over others? Simply because it flows out of maybe anger or flows out of frustration or flows out of things that we all have at various times in our lives. But God, even in that word today, God wants to come and get rid of all the things which can be the source of negative things in our lives and fill us with the source of positive things in our lives so positive things can flow out. But words are extremely powerful. And God, as we'll see, created the whole universe with words. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, Do not let them depart from your sight. In other words, keep focused on what God says. Keep them in the midst of our heart. That's all about meditation. How do we get the word of God in the midst of our heart? By meditating on it, by feeding on it, by living according to it. Because those words are life. How many people want life? In fullness and abundance. Yeah? Choose life. Choose life. Choose to live according to the truth of God's word and have them in the midst of our heart. And their health to all their body. Awesome. Words can produce health to our bodies. How many people want healthy bodies? We all do, don't we? So it's important what words we have in our hearts, because the words are in our hearts will determine whether we have life and we're living life or whether we have health. Watch over your heart with all diligence. In other words, because it's really important, for from it flow the springs of life. Life flows out of the heart. Words, which we need to keep in the midst of our heart, are so powerful that they create and sustain the universe. God created the universe through words, and he sustains the universe through words, and therefore our lives need to follow the same pattern. That's why words are important. In fact, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. Everything came into being through words. The Word speaking words. Hebrews 1:3 says, he is the radiance of his glory. This is Jesus. He's the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his nature. So if you look at Jesus, you see what God's like. You look at Jesus did while he was here on earth, you see what God is like. He exactly represents his nature. And then it says, and upholds all things by the word of his power. So everything, this room, the seats you're sitting on, my life, your life, this whole universe is actually sustained and upheld by the words of the power of God. It keeps everything in being. If God stopped speaking and God stopped observing us, we would disappear. It's not the day for quantum physics, but maybe one day I'll explain that. Now, Jesus holds everything together with power from the words. Actually, we're supposed to be like Jesus, so our words also need to flow with power and authority. And we hold things together by our words, because we're supposed to do the same thing that God did. John 6:36-63 says, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. So the words of Jesus are not just any old words. They are spirit and they are life. So the spirit words come from a spirit realm, a different dimension, the realm of heaven. That's where they come from. So there's a supernatural voice of God, and there's also natural words and sounds of earth. Natural and supernatural sound waves, because words are sound waves. That's what they work. When you speak, a wave of sound goes out, and there are natural and supernatural. So the words that Jesus spoke, they're supernatural and they're spiritual words. So they have a greater power and greater life in them and ability to bring heaven to earth. That's why it's really important that we speak the words of Jesus. God's word is spiritual or supernatural. Matthew 11:15 says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. 15 times that's repeated. So it's really important that we hear the words that Jesus speaks. And guess what we're supposed to do with the words that Jesus speaks? Speak them ourselves. So we receive God's word, listen to it, place it in our hearts, and then we speak from our hearts according to what we've received from the word of God. Because it's spirit and it's life. It's not a dead word. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, people who aren't spiritual cannot receive these truths from God's spirit. So those people who are not born again in their spirit, they can read the Bible, they can listen to someone preach, but they cannot receive those truths. It all sounds foolishness to them and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the spirit means. So our spirit is what interprets the words of Jesus, not our head. We don't analyze it, try and figure it out, try to understand it with intellect. It needs to be understood with our spirit. That's why we have to place it in our heart. Because that's when the spirit can breathe life on those words, and then our words can flow out from that source of life, the spring of life that's in our hearts. What are we putting in our hearts? It's something to think about. Because if from our hearts flow springs of life and health, it's really important what we put in there. It's really important what we think about. It's really important what we say. Words sustain the universe. Hebrews 1:2. Through whom also he, Jesus, made the world and upholds all things by the power of the word of his power. So he made it. How did he make it? Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. So that what is seen, what we see here in this room, what you look around, what you can touch, was not made out of things which are visible. So it wasn't like God, Jesus, took a load of building blocks and made the world out of it. He made it out of things which are not visible, but not out of nothing. He didn't make it out of nothing. He made it out of things which are invisible. The things of the spiritual realm are not visible to our natural eyes, but they're just as real and just as powerful and have just as much power. In fact, the word of his power that comes from the heavenly realm that keeps this realm into being is so powerful that one sugar cube of that energy can power 400 billion galaxies. One sugar cube. That's scientifically proved. One sugar cube of 0 point energy, which is the energy that comes from that unseen realm, can power 400 billion galaxies. And there's a lot more than sugar cubes in that realm. And that realm is available to us because it's spiritual words and spiritual power and spiritual authority which can flow through this realm, through our mouths, to change and keep things in being. Because God's called us to do the things that Jesus did. Jesus' words are spirit and life. Resurrection life, new life that comes through the power of Jesus' victory on the cross can only be imparted through speaking the word of God. How do I say that? Because faith comes through hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So everything that brings new life and power has to flow from the life of God. And that life can be in us to produce resurrection life around us, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of those around us in speaking the truth of God's word. Impartation of that invisible power, that spiritual realm, is communicated through prophetic declaration of the word of God. So when we speak, we are prophesying and calling things from that invisible realm into being in this natural realm. So what we say is really, really important. And it's awesome that we've been given that sort of level of authority. But that's why God is training us and transforming us and making us pure of heart, so that the things that we say are flowing from a pure heart and not the mixture in our hearts. So God wants pure hearts, so he's transforming us, renewing us, restoring us, making us whole, so that we can flow in true spiritual authority and power. So our words will be able to bring the invisible into the visible, from the spiritual blessing realm into this natural realm, because they're flowing through our hearts with authority and power. Luke 4:32 said, they were amazed at Jesus' teaching because his words had authority. It's like we need that authority flowing through us. Our words should have authority. But they only have authority when they're flowing from the right source, from heaven, through our hearts, in that way. Luke 4:36, all the people were amazed and said to each other, what words they are, these are. With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out. It's like the spiritual realm has authority over the spiritual realm here. But the words have to come with authority and power. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active. It is alive. It's alive with spiritual power and potential. That word active equals energizes. That's what it means. Energizes. So the word of God, which is living, energizes us, empowers us with the same power that Jesus operated with. Colossians 1:29, this is Paul talking, says, "For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his energy, which works mightily in me." So the word of God in him, that energizing word, was why he was able to do what he did. He was working according to the energizing power of the word of God in him. Divine word power energizes our lives, and the whole entire physical universe comes from the power of the word of God. And we can have that word in us, and that word can come out of our mouths and flow in power. Romans 1:16 says, "The gospel is the power of God unto salvation." The words of God's truth, his good news message, can save people with power. Natural sound waves can impact and reconfigure matter. It's a scientific principle. You can fire sound waves at things, and they can shake a building off its foundations. They're so powerful if they're deep and low enough. If you read about Nikola Tesla, who was a famous scientist who had some pretty wacky stuff, actually, he set up an experiment in New York, and an apartment building was almost, they thought it was an earthquake. And all he did was turn on a machine that produced sound waves at low power. There's awesome power in sound waves. But natural sound waves, although they can move things, they cannot create. But supernatural sound waves are creative. And that's the difference in Jesus' words of life than just natural words. They are creative and have power behind them. John 12:49 says, "For I did not speak of my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak." So if we want the sort of life that Jesus have, we need the sort of relationship with the Father, with God, that God shows us what to say and what to speak. It flows from relationship with him. I know that his commandment is eternal life. And therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. See, I'm not here as a representative of my own ideas, but of God's. Now, the more we're in relationship with God, the more God's stuff flows through us. And then the more power there is, and the more effectiveness our life will have. In fact, Jesus actually talked about the power of words in Mark 11:22. It says, "Jesus answered, saying to them, 'Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain,'" now what's a mountain? Big obstacle, big thing in the way. Whoever says, who speaks to the mountain using words, that's what you do when you speak and say things, you use words. And the words that you say to something in this case were, "Be taken up and cast into the sea." If you don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say is going to happen, it will be granted. There's power in that. There's power in knowing what God has said to you and speaking that out with authority, because nothing can stand in the way of that. So what Jesus is saying here, even a mountain can be moved if we use the words of authority that Jesus has given and use them in the way flowing from our hearts that Jesus has given for us to say. So nothing is impossible when we can do this sort of stuff. In verse 21, Matthew 21, Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only be able to do what was done to the fig tree," because remember, Jesus spoke to a fig tree, and when they came back to it, it shriveled up. All he did was speak to it. Now the fig tree represented fig coverings, which are the coverings, and there was symbolism in it. It wasn't just a party trick. He was trying to show them that actually the end of us doing things for ourselves is here, because the kingdom's here now, where the power of God can be active rather than our own works, because the fig leaves represented what Adam and Eve covered themselves with, fig leaves, their own works to cover their sin and nakedness. So that's ended, but the principle here, he goes on to say, you will not only to be able to do that with your words, what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, it will be taken up and cast in the sea, it will happen. So he's given us awesome authority and power in our words. And in fact, Romans 4:17 again talks about the creative power of God's words. In the presence of him who we believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. God speaks things into being and gives life to dead things through words. And he's given us authority to do the same thing. So we need to make sure that our words are flowing from the heart and life of God. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It's awesome. But the words need to be in our hearts. They need to be living and active in us. And then we can say things that bring creative change. Now, we can't wish anything. It's not like wishing something silly. It's wishing our wishes, our hopes are according to God's truth and God's word. It's when we align ourselves with God's kingdom and his will, then whatever we say will be done. But actually, there is still power in our words anyway. That's why they're so dangerous. When you say negative things about yourself, you have authority to bring those words about. When you curse yourselves and say negative things, those curses can come about. So it's really important that you do not say negative things or agree with negative things that other people say about you. Because there is power in your words. You do not want to bring death into your life. You want to bring life into your life. So speak positive words rather than negative ones over you, yourselves. In fact, Jesus spoke words, Mark 4:39, he got up and he rebuked the wind. Now you don't rebuke something other than speaking to it. He rebuked the wind because the wind was in opposition to what he wanted to do. He wanted to get his disciples across the other side of the lake. There was a big storm. That storm came as a result of the enemy. Whenever you see the word rebuke, it means that that was initiated by the devil, because there was a demonized guy on the other side of the lake called Legion, who had a legion of demons in him, who was going to be set free. So the enemy did not want him to be set free, because when he was set free, he transformed a whole area with the power of the testimony of what happened to him. So there was opposition to those words. So Jesus rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And actually, these are the sort of things we could do. I actually was on my roof the other day, and I think this is, I'm not sure it was the same occasion to the story I told the other day, which Deb doesn't know about, of course. But I was on my roof and it started to rain. And it was like, it's bad enough on the roof without it being wet and slippy. So I spoke to the rain and told it to stop. And it actually stopped. Now you might think that was a coincidence. I didn't, because I was expecting it to stop. And it stopped. So we went yesterday to Peppa Pig Land, and which is near Southampton, and as you do. And all the way up, it was raining. And all the way back, it was raining. And while we were there, it virtually didn't rain the whole time. And I was praying all the way that it wouldn't rain. You know, and okay, you think, well, that's just a coincidence. You can think what you like, but it didn't rain. And it stopped raining when I was on the roof. Now, I'm quite up for believing that's the sort of power and authority that we can carry if we're carrying it from the heart. Because I believed it. I didn't sort of say, well, maybe I'll just give this a go. Actually, I thought, I'm going to actually stop this rain because I don't want it to rain. And it stopped. Now, I can say this morning, I prayed it was going to be sunny, and it's very sunny out there today. But it's not a party trick, but it is something God cares. He cares that we had a nice day yesterday. He cares that actually I wasn't going to slip off my roof because it was raining, just because I was being stupid instead. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. This is the relationship which produces the power of the word. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so can neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This is the relationship that we need to build. John 6, these are the words I said before. The spirit who gives life, the flesh doesn't profit anything. The words that we have from Jesus, their spirit and their life to us. The word of God is a verbal expression of the spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is the creative power of God. So all this works together to breathe creative power in our lives. John 15:26 says, when the Helper comes, that's a name for the Holy Spirit, the one who gets alongside us, the one who is in us, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth. Now what's truth? Truth is the stuff that is in our hearts. God's word is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That stuff proceeds from the Father, and he will testify about me. So the Holy Spirit always testifies about Jesus. But when we have the word of truth in us, we will testify also. Our life will be a testimony to the power of Jesus and God in our lives. Even to the fact that God says, you don't even have to worry what to say in difficult situations if you have the word of God in your heart. Matthew 10:19. When they hand you over, and he was talking about handing over the disciples to the magistrates or people who are going to persecute them, so do not worry about how or what you're to say, for it will be given you in that hour what you're to say. For it's not you who speak, but it's the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. If we're in relationship, we can expect God to be speaking through us, the words of God to be expressed through us. Jesus, under God's initiative, spoke to lots of things, sickness and disease. He spoke sickness to work sickness and disease. It's really important you understand that. He commanded sickness and disease to go. He took authority over it with his words. And in speaking to it, his power was manifested over it. Because sickness and disease bring what? Death, destruction. But the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, bring life and health. So it overcomes it in authority, because heaven's authority is greater than earth's authority, and that authority is expressed through the words that we speak. He spoke over demons, and they went. He stopped waves, the storm, the fig tree, even death. He spoke words of life, and Lazarus came back. What did he say? Lazarus, come forth. It was said he used the words Lazarus, come forth, because if he just said come forth, everyone would have come out of the grave, and they would have had a real shock then. So he spoke, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, life came back into his body. Because what were words? Words are life. And they spoke life. He commanded with words of authority. Now, if I'm representing Jesus on the earth, as I said before, I need to speak like he spoke. Now, the question is, do you want to be an ambassador? Well, we need to then have the words of God in our heart to be able to speak. Do you want to speak for God? Yeah, do you want to speak with authority and power? Yeah, do you want words, your words, to move mountains? Do you want your words to carry creative power? Well, if you do, what can you do about it? And this is, I'll finish with this. Build a relationship with the living Word of God. Don't just see it as a page, book with pages and words on it. Actually, Jesus is the living Word, and he wants the living Word to be living in our hearts. Not just something we read, but something we put in our hearts. Meditate on the word. Feed yourself on it. Listen to God's word. Fill your heart with God's word. Allow the Spirit to work through you. Become an ambassador. Amen? So let's go with words of power and words of authority, because God's word is in us.